You're tuned into Justice Radio. I'm AJ Stash.
And I'm Cage Johnson.
We're your new Justice Radio hosts, following in the footsteps of longtime host, friend, and colleague Catherine Vesteman. We're both members of Healing First, a survivor-led collective of folks seeking to make restorative and transformative justice accessible to everyone. As a project this year, Healing First members will be co-hosting this monthly episode on Justice Radio. Today, we'll be asking each other a few questions to introduce ourselves as your new Justice Radio hosts. So, Cage, how did you get here to this role? Tell us a little bit about who you are.
Thanks, AJ. I guess first and foremost, it feels important to say that I am an abolitionist, like through and through. They're really, in my from my perspective, there's just no reforming this system that we have. I'm a settler of Irish descent. I'm based here in the Dawnland, unceded homelands of the Wabanaki peoples, what we colonially know as the state of Maine. And I first started to get involved in justice-related work going to Black Lives Matter protests over a decade ago around the Portland area. And I specifically remember going to one with a vigil for Mike Brown after he was killed. And I started to become active in participating in direct actions. And I draw a lot of inspiration from revolutionaries like the Black Panthers, Assata Shakur. Racial justice really like seeded my belief in abolition is like really where that began for me. And some of the roles that I hold in the present moment now are I'm a restorative and transformative justice practitioner, meaning that I facilitate processes and I work really closely with those who have caused harm and or experienced harm and wider communities in general. And I have facilitated processes involving serious harm, that including assault, sexual violence, including rape. I'm also a writer. I write on a Substack called Blue Sky Moon about all of my thoughts, abolition and world relationships related. I'm a co-creator of Healing First, and I think the name of our collective really speaks for itself. Healing First serves as the main state chapter of Survivors for Justice Reform. Our missions really align well in, you know, desiring and working toward a world where restorative and transformative justice processes are widely accessible to anyone who wants them. And I serve as the main state chapter representative for Survivors for Justice Reform, which is a global coalition. I'm also part of Merge, the Maine Restorative Justice Coalition, and I'm a co-director with Nibisan, a role that I took on more recently. And Nibisan is a Wabanaki-led nonprofit organization. And beyond that, I'm a survivor of violence, particularly sexual violence. I've been really vocal about my own experience as a survivor for many years. And so it's from this lens that I advocate for restorative and transformative justice as accessible options for everyone. I myself personally have never utilized the criminal legal system for any harm that I experienced. I was also formerly a sexual assault advocate. I worked in an advocate role for about a year, and I was horribly disappointed by the lack of non-systems-based options. And so within like a year of my time as an advocate, I stumbled into discovering restorative justice, which I had never heard of in my life. And it completely changed my entire life, like from being someone who wanted to see like rapists on like put on an island, you know, like isolated from community, did a complete like 180. And I ended up helping to pilot a program with RJIM, the Restorative Justice Institute of Maine at the time, in response to sexual violence. And I started facilitating processes from that point onward. I'm also someone who underwent a Title IX investigation back in college with a really harsh zero tolerance outcome. And I did a lot of public calling out in the wake of experiencing the harm I experienced. And I've since intentionally departed from partaking in cancel culture. And it's basically become my life's mission to make these processes widely accessible, really wanting to have justice pathways for folks that truly foster healing and prevent violence up front and don't replicate the systemic harm that we constantly see. So that's a little bit about me and my role and how I come into this and how I've arrived at being a justice radio show host. What about you, AJ? How do you come into this work? Who are you?
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing, Paige, and for your vulnerability and about your background and how you come to this work. Yeah, so I come to Justice, hosting Justice Radio. I am also located in the Dawnland on unceded Wabanaki land. I was born in southern Maine area, and I think that it's important to name that I'm a person who is very connected with the arts of music and writing, specifically poetry. And I think when I was growing up, I really experienced in music and in writing and just in creative imagination, feeling this feeling of being part of something bigger than myself. And that kind of feeling has really led me through my life in all of the different ways that I have participated in community care. So when I moved away to Pittsburgh for college, I got really involved in environmental justice, being from the area that I'm from, where we have so much access to the outdoors and connection with lands. And that was a very stark difference in moving to a city, and especially a city that has so much extensive background of environmental issues and those issues directly impacting the people living in that city so intensely, with health and with social class. And so I got very much involved in direct action and the anti-pipeline encampment movements. And I ended up moving back to Maine from an unexpected injury. And I was also coming from a background of being a survivor of sexual harm and domestic violence. And so coming back to the place where I first started experiencing those things in my life, I was really looking for community in a place that was like outside of those circles that I grew up in that were very harmful. And that led me to an organization called Prevention Action Change, which I am now a teacher with Prevention Action Change and have been for 4.5 years. We hold classes and trainings for intervention, prevention of, and responding to violence across a whole spectrum of different experiences, from bothersome behavior from strangers or family members, and navigating challenging interactions to life-threatening and more physical violent harm, and how to navigate those situations with a trauma-informed lens and holding empowerment for ourselves and for each other at the forefront. So we do a lot of empowerment self-defense classes, de-escalation classes, active bystander intervention classes, and more recently have been doing a lot of de-escalation and intervention around ICE and everything that's been happening within our community with ICE ramping up more lately. And so with becoming a teacher with Prevention Action Change, it really changed my whole life and how I see healing work. And really also was my first step into restorative justice work, because it really opened my eyes to the fact that, like, we are all survivors of this harmful system. And people who cause harm are most likely have experienced major harm in some way or another. And so it really got me questioning, my own harm that I've experienced, and And that's how I found Healing First as well, is kind of through someone that I teach with at Prevention Action Change. And it has been so lovely to get my toes more into the restorative justice world and being someone who is also abolition focused and driven. It really just aligns with who I am and what drives me. And that's why I'm here at Justice Radio. Thanks for asking,
Amazing.
Paige.
It's so nice to learn more about you, AJ. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so many questions. I'd love to follow up this question with asking you about what does meaningful justice look like to you from your perspective?
Yeah, so meaningful justice looks a lot different than what our society paints as the norms of justice in our legal system. To me, meaningful justice puts safety and care, accountability and growth at the forefront. So making sure that people have their basic needs met. So that includes abolishing a lot of systems that we have in place because, you know, a lot of people don't have access to housing, to being able to feed themselves, to being able to even live in a way that is aligned with their own values as humans. And without that forefront of safety, like, people are going to be not aligned with their values and be forced to live in a world that already isn't aligned with their values, right? So safety at the forefront, that goes along with care. So being able to care for ourselves, we have to have safe first, and being able to show care for one another, and that leads into accountability. So being able to accept, like, where we are at as humans, what our actions have been, how they have impacted ourselves and each other, and being able to grow from our past and, like, keep on the journey of, like, spiritual growth toward the kind of people that we want to be and the world that we want to envision. Those are all things that meaningful justice looks like me. And I'm also curious about what that looks like for you, Kate.
Yeah, I will definitely add to that. I think, well, again, I'm really rooted in restorative and transformative justice as a means to dismantle our whole, white supremacist punitive culture and systems of policing and prisons, and instead to lean into cultivating a culture of genuine community care and justice and equity and healing and accountability. And so, I mean, part of this question, it also like makes me just think about like how do we envision meaningful justice? And for me, like envisioning meaningful justice involves asking myself these two questions like every day, constantly. I'm always asking myself, how do we respond to harm without causing further harm? That's basically my compass in achieving justice. And I always ask myself, am I moving from a place of love or fear? Because there's a huge difference. And one is from that like abundant space where we can hold multiple realities and experiences and truths and respect for all people's dignity all at once. And the other is from a space of lack or deficit, those needs not being met, dangerous black and white thinking, victimization, like, shifting away from that. And so I think, meaningful justice to me involves the people directly involved in a situation of harm or violence and also determining what options are most appropriate and needed for them, being, centered around those people. I think meaningful justice is healing oriented. It doesn't treat people as disposable. I personally feel like we can't call the degradation of another person's humanity or dignity healing. I can't find healing in other people's punishment. It just is not my experience. And so we're losing something in the process of that. We're losing a part of our own humanity and wishing harm on someone and equating punishment or retribution to accountability or healing. They're not the same. And in my experience, even participating in cancel culture, cancel culture is itself a symptom of a failed system that fails to provide accountability and justice and healing, where people are trying to like go enact justice on their own, like left on their own. And that's scary because a culture of unhealed people leads to more harm. It's like we're kind of in a little harm factory right now, this entire world, this country. And so I think, yeah, meaningful justice to me is also violence prevention up front. Like, processes that bring violence prevention up front to the table. It's part of restorative and transformative justice, certainly. And that really helps to be able to support people in making necessary changes in behavior and preventing future harm. And, meaningful justice uplifts consent, right? Like being able to be in a process where you consensually navigate repair together is powerful. Like that directly heals whatever consent was previously violated and whatever harm that happened. So I think, all of those things are like ingredients for me in meaningful justice and being able to actually have genuine honesty and transparency, which our system as it exists now leaves no space for. It's all like, try to reduce sentences, don't admit guilt. Like there's no opportunity to even be honest when we've caused harm. And so, yeah, I could say so much more about it, but I think meaningful justice really is like about humanizing each other at the end of the day. Yeah.
Yeah, I love all of what you said about that. And I really think something that, like, so many things are sticking with me about what you said about meaningful justice, specifically like the, humanizing others and treating each other with dignity, because we all deserve that. We are all human. We all are our own person and like deserve to show up as ourselves. We'll be taking a short break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Justice Radio, where we're introducing ourselves as new hosts of this monthly show. I'm AJ Stash.
And I'm Cage Johnson, and we are Justice Radio.
Another thing is the leading either from fear or from love, and that scarcity mindset versus abundance, I think is such an important piece to like I want to start asking myself that question in like every decision I make because I feel that's so hard. Like it's so easy to lead from a place of fear, I think, especially in the world that we live in, because we are constantly, at fear of losing the things that make us feel safe and, having our basic needs met first and foremost, like, that is violence prevention, for sure. And, it's such a radical thing to lead from love and from a place of like seeing each other with dignity, like no matter what like has happened, being allowing like ourselves to like find in ourselves like where we connect with our own dignity and being able to like see another person in that light, I think is so important.
Definitely. Yeah. And thank you for all of your insights you've shared. Yeah, I'm always just struck again and again by the reminder of like basic needs being like at the core of like what drives, like when those needs aren't met, poverty, like driving violence and like opening up the door for that to even become an option of a choice for people. It's always an important reminder. And yeah, I'm humbled always by these conversations because I just always find myself thinking like, wow, what if we like were all defined by and then treated for the rest of our lives by like the worst thing we've each ever done? I just think, like if we're being honest with ourselves, like we would all be screwed like for something. So, we need to have some grace with one another, which is hard, but necessary. Yeah. Thank you for that question and your insight.
And like so many people are, measured by the worst thing that they've done in their whole life, like the way that our system works as it is now, and is so awful because like people change. Everyone has the ability to grow and change and become more of like the person that they want to be and be more in line with their values and show care for themselves and one another. And especially when, being able to have access to more resources to be able to feel like we have options to do that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I feel moved to also just share. It feels aligned with this question still while we're here with meaningful justice and what it looks like. And maybe it can be a bit inspiring to others as well. But I also always think of the seven core assumptions of restorative justice, which I learned from RJOI, Restorative Justice for Oakland. Youth, I think, is what it stands for. But basically, yeah, the seven core assumptions of restorative justice, which I learned from RJOI out of Oakland, are the first one is the true self and everyone is good, wise, and powerful. The second is the world is profoundly interconnected. The third is all human beings have a deep desire to be in good relationship. And the fourth is all human beings have gifts and everyone is needed for what they bring. And the fifth is everything we need to make positive change is already here. And that one just like gives me like goosebumps. And the sixth one is human beings are holistic. And then the seventh, which is also one of my favorites, is we need practices to build habits of living from the core self. And I think that that just also feels, like such an essential part of envisioning what meaningful justice can look like.
Gosh, I love those so much. Thank you so much for sharing them. The one that really gave me shivers is the fourth one that, we all have, something to show up with and give that will help, envision the world that we, I don't know exactly what it was, but, we all have our purpose and our role and like our special things that make us who we are and will contribute to being able to make the world that we want to see and make the world a better place. Like we all already have that. And there's so much value in that. We are living in some really hard times. And, we've been living in really hard times. And it seems like every day there's more violence and, more things that we can be doing to help care for each other. So I'm wondering, what are some calls to action and resources relevant to justice at this moment in time that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, thank you for asking that question. It definitely feels like maybe the most important question of all right now, on this entire show today. I think that there's a lot that we can be doing. I think donating is really important to the orgs that are really on the ground and doing a lot of work right now and helping folks. And the specific things to donate to that come to mind are the Maine Solidarity Fund. I know it's averaging around like $20,000 a person just for legal costs alone right now. So donating to the Maine Solidarity Fund is a huge help and a constant need, as well as the Community Relief Fund. And there's Project Relief Maine as well as Maine Immigrant Rights Coalition, MIRC, and Maine Needs, which I feel like a lot of folks are familiar with. But all of those groups are consistently looking for donations, whether monetary or otherwise, with Maine Needs, with items and things like that. And then there's other groups, mutual aid groups, and groups to organize with, such as No ICE for Maine, Presente Maine. And there's the Maine Afro Yoga Project and Food for All services, delivering food to folks and Food Not Bombs as well. There's a lot of mutual aid around food and making sure everyone's getting their groceries at this time. So those are big ones. Yeah. Do you have something that you can share as well, AJ?
For sure. Yeah. So, some other ways to get involved right now that are more around like legal services and different trainings happening. We have the Immigrant Legal Advocacy Project or ILAP, ACLU Maine. Both of those are putting out a lot of information about knowing your rights, and different rights trainings. Prevention Action Change. You can find us at pacmaine.com. We are doing a lot of trainings around empowerment self-defense and also de-escalation, and specific trainings for the ICE verifier hotline as well. So the Maine Immigrant Rights Coalition put together the ICE Watch hotline, and so we are part of training ICE, the verifiers that go out once the hotline is called to verify if the sighting is actually ICE or not. There's also the Southern Maine Workers Center, who is doing trainings around Fourth Amendment workplace rights and healing first as well. So we're doing a lot of legislative advocacy work and have a lot of information on our website about how to get more involved in any legislative advocacy that you may be interested in. It's really easy to write written testimony for anything that you want to advocate for to see change in your community. And then generally also just like meet and connect with your neighbors. Get plugged into local mutual aid efforts. There's always something happening around you that you may not know about already. So really getting involved in what's locally happening around you and not recreating, what's already going on is really a good thing to keep in mind. There is a role for everyone in the revolution. We all have a part to play in creating the just world we envision. And if you're concerned about what's happening out there, call your local reps and local government and make your voice heard. Earlier, I mentioned the ICE Watch hotline, the phone number for that. If you see any suspicious activity that you think could be ICE, that phone number is 207 207- 544-9989. In your contact list, share it with your friends and give them a call if you feel like you see anything that could be ICE.
Thank you so much. A pretty comprehensive list. So many ways to get involved and so needed at this time.
Well, thank you everyone so much for tuning in today. Thank you, Paige, for being here with me. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you as well. And with thanks to bluesman Samuel James for his gift of music that opens and closes each episode in our series, to Aaron Pyle, our sound engineer, a big thank you for our first week of editing, and to Dario Cullen, our executive producer. We are Justice Radio.